This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you people score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shower with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
You're listening to DPHRO and Rothenberg. We're up with you every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. We want to hear from you, especially today. 1-800-919-3776. I'm Rick DPHRO. You know when you go to a diner and you can sit up by the flat top? What is that called?
The counter?
Yeah, the counter. He's Dave Rothenberg.
Good times!
It's an elimination Thursday here on the show today. Lars frickin' Nootbaar and the Cardinals essentially end the Mets' chances of making the playoffs. Week two for the Giants tonight in Washington, and our king of the lukewarm take, Doomsday, Dave Rothenberg, has the Giants' season on the brink.
If they lose this game, their season is done.
Brett Gardner, with some help from aggressive base running, bails out the Yankees. And for all you optimistic Giants fans, we're going to give you some hope, some good news about Daniel Jones. And as always, on the Thursday at 6:45, we have observations and did it happen in Florida. But before I hand the show off, I'd love to say good morning to a K-Show favorite.
Let's hear from Dave Rothenberg.
Oh, why? So disrespectful. The one and only David Aloysius Rothenberg.
Well, thank you, and a good morning to you, Richard. On the holiest of Jewish days, a day I probably shouldn't even be working, but I say I can't say a happy Yom Kippur to you, but I hope you have an easy fast today on this very, very serious day in the Jewish religion.
I will not eat today until you eat. I won't. I'm not going to do it.
He's so full of it.
I'm telling you right now, solidarity, I'm not going to do it.
You will not eat until sundown tonight.
No, just like I told Steve Levy the other day, I will not watch the Manning telecast. I'm a Steve Levy guy. I'm watching him.
Is that genuine? You did not watch the Manning telecast at all?
No, I mean, I flipped. You got to check it out. It was the first day.
So you lied to Steve.
No, I said moving forward. I said, listen, I watched you. You did a great job. I love that. I mean, that's a good booth. That's a really good booth. We'll have Lewis Riddick on today.
Yep.
And he said, did you watch any of the Mannings? I said, yeah, I flipped back and forth. I wanted to see what it was all about. Because those guys are funny. I mean, let's face it.
Let me know if you want to hook up. Hee hee.
Like, Eli Manning is a funny dude.
Deceptively funny.
Was a funny dude.
Very much so.
And as far as, like, his knowledge of the game, how he breaks plays out, any job in the NFL, I am supremely confident that Peyton Manning would be great at it. Right? Like, I mean, president, GM, coach, coordinator, like, you name it. Like,
yep.
his knowledge of the game is incredible. But I said, listen, Steve, I thought it was good. It was funny. But you're my guy. I'm riding with you.
So you're a ride or die kind of guy. All
That's
right. Well, if you can make it. I mean, listen, it's 5 o'clock in the morning right now. If you somehow have the intestinal fortitude to make it till 6:45 tonight without eating, God bless you.
No, I'm going to do it for you. I can do it.
But there's no reason for you to do it.
Well,
you don't need to do it. You're not Jewish.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, you're one of my closest friends. So if
I appreciate that,
this,
and I love you as well. But if there was a punishment through Catholicism, why would I have to do that?
Well, I would just hope that, like, maybe, like, during Lent you decide, hey, you know what?
No.
Fridays, no meat.
No, why would I do that?
No, you won't. But I'm just, maybe you just get the filet of fish at McDonald's instead of the cheeseburger.
Not a McDonald's guy, actually. I'd much prefer the Burger King.
Really?
Yeah, much prefer the Burger King.
Wow, I see. Maybe just because I grew up and there was a McDonald's in Winthrop. And we would always go to McDonald's. I mean, McDonald's French fry is Mount Rushmore.
Can we not have a lot of food conversation today?
I don't want to give up the meat.
Yeah. Yeah, let's be... Actually, it's too bad it didn't fall on the day I was in Chicago, since they were taking lunch and everything. I didn't even eat.
That's right. It's anyway. Almost like they were forcing you into a fast out there on the Chicago trip. Oh, my goodness. So we have a lot to do today. I mean, this is a very busy Thursday. The Yankees were this close from catastrophe. The Giants, and I don't understand why people think this is a hot take. But I guess the K-Show's, I got text yesterday, the K-Show's killing you for your hot take. And then Carlin, I heard Carlin join Don during the Don Show at like 6:45. And he's like, I got to tell you, I couldn't agree with Dave anymore. He said, I think if the Giants lose this game, the season is in essence over. They're not rebounding from 0-2, Rick. You know it. I know it. So call it whatever you want. This is a monumental game for the Giants tonight.
Yeah, week two. This is, but again, I mean, go back to why we said week one was so important.
Well, that's the thing. If week one was against Kansas City and week two was against Tampa Bay, I wouldn't look at it like that. But when I looked at the start of the season, I said, no reason they can't win week one against Denver. No reason they can't win week two against Washington. Those are two games I looked at and said, those can be wins. So if they start out 0-2 and two games I thought could be wins are now losses, what happens to the rest of the season?
But at the very least, again, short week, I mean, on the road, that's a tall task, especially, I mean, we didn't know that Ryan Fitzpatrick would be hurt. All we heard all offseason was how great this Washington defense was going to be. I mean, Greeny's picking them to win the NFC East. Like, people were all in with the Washington football team. So when you look at the start of the season, and since 2017, and I'll say it again, this team has not been over 500 once.
Which is pathetic.
Let that sink in. Since 2017, the New York Giants have not been over 500 one time. So there, I mean, just for me, like, I'm not even a Giants fan. I would imagine between ownership, Dave Gettleman especially, there should be some sense of urgency. Like, the fan base has had enough. They're sick and tired of bad season after bad season after bad season. That you'd have some urgency going into this year. And you had Daniel Jones play one preseason game. They show up in week one. Defense can't get off the field. Daniel Jones, another turnover. Let's make that 40 now. 40 turnovers. And you're 0-1 now staring at potentially 0-2 and another one of those seasons where it spirals out of control and you're trying to decide whether or not GM gets fired and maybe we need a new quarterback.
Absolutely. And we'll get to the Yankees in a second as well. 800-919-3776. Look at the schedule after next week. You have Washington tonight. And the Thursday night game is stressful because the whole country is watching it. And now if I lose that game, Friday becomes a misery. It's a standalone game. Like, there's a lot of pressure within this game. It's a huge game for the Giants and Washington as well. But look at the schedule after Atlanta. So next week is Atlanta. And then it's what? New Orleans? At New Orleans. Maybe New Orleans, maybe Jacksonville. We don't know. At Dallas, home to the Rams. What of those three games do you look at and say to yourself, yeah, you know what? The Giants go in and win that game.
Well, I don't just look at those games and say, okay, the Giants go in and win the games. I think they beat Atlanta. And then, I mean, okay. Divisional games, who knows?
Like, all right, but if they lose tonight and they beat Atlanta and they're 1-2 after three, those next three games, you think there's a pretty good chance they don't win any of them, right?
Yeah, we went through it.
I know. So then there's a good chance I'm staring 1-5 in the face.
See, that's what bothered me yesterday in the K-Show where, I mean, they're calling your... Now, it's a lukewarm take.
It's a hot take.
Stupid take. It's not a hot take. It's lukewarm. It's like when you get the all you can... Like when IHOP says, we're giving you all you can eat pancakes and then they give you three... And you say, well, I'm going to need another stack. And it takes like another 45 minutes to get the other three. And by that time, you're like, what am I doing here? Like, I don't need to sit here and wait for three pancakes for 45 minutes. But do the exercise. And like I would say to Peter, like, if Dave makes a point. Carlin, he's trying to weasel into the show to make a DCR again. I see what he's doing. Trying to get on your good side. Just do it. 0-2, then 1-2. I mean, go down the list.
They have no forethought, though.
But before you know it, they can't look to the future.
They're prisoners in the moment, those guys.
Yeah, they got to take a step back. It's good. By the way, that was bear barking during the Orlovsky. I heard you owe
Dan Orlovsky a tremendous apology.
Tremendous. Listen, it's because it's happened too many times in the K-Show, and I don't like it. It's disrespectful. They have guests on, because I want to hear from Michael, Don, and occasionally Peter. And all of a sudden, they get a call, they get a guest, and I'm like, okay, guest, let's see what happens here. And it's a bad phone line.
Just isn't capable of that.
It takes 15 minutes of the show. 15 minutes of Michael K. gone. That I don't get.
That's right. And then you get Peter's dog barking. He should muzzle the dog during the show.
Or something. But hey, listen, it's part of the charm, I guess.
I guess.
But I'm just looking at the schedule right now, and you're not wrong.
Like, I know I'm not wrong. I wouldn't have said it if I was wrong.
No, I know. But I think the problem, the pushback from Giants fans is you wait all offseason. Coming off a season where you felt like there was a chance. The division was awful. If Evan Ingram makes that catch against the Eagles, like, there were so many opportunities. Daniel Jones ends up, you know, pulling his hamstring. Even though it's, you know, it's six wins or seven wins, and you win the division, you feel good about it. And you had all these excuses baked in, so you're like, okay, now we had Galladay, we got a Dory Jackson. You know, this offensive line with Andrew Thomas in year two should be better, regular offseason. And you have this level of excitement and hope for the season. And now in week two, and this isn't like you got week one on Sunday, and then I got a whole week to get ready for next Sunday.
This is a 5-day span, correct.
That my season could be over. And we all know what that means, though. That's not just, oh, my season's over, we got to look forward to next year. That's my season's over, and we could be back to a potential rebuild with a new GM and a rookie quarterback. That's a scary proposition.
That's awful. It really is absolutely horrendous. But I stand by it. I'm steadfast in my original take. If they lose this game tonight, the season is done. And I get it. Dallas, you know, is a disaster right now, and they're losing a guy every single day, and Washington's lost their quarterback, and Philadelphia, we don't know what they're going to be. But I think it's pretty obvious. If the Giants can't go and beat Taylor Heinicke on the road, how many games are they going to win? Really? Are they going to be able to win 8 games? You don't think that 8 wins is going to win this division this year? You think it's going to be another season where you go 7-10 or 6-11? I find that very unlikely. And if the Giants lose tonight, they're not winding up 8-9 or 9-8. It's just not happening.
No, they're going to have their hands full. I mean, if that happens. And at that point, I mean, players in that locker room, like, how do you consistently try to buy into this message if you're not getting results?
God, I don't
right?
know.
I mean, that's...
Yeah,
that's,
I don't know.
That's
I
not great. Know. It isn't. I mean, because I'm sure the players feel the same kind of pressure. No one's going to sit there and admit our season could be over, but I would hope that there's a level of desperation that you see from them tonight from both teams.
Listen, I feel the same way about Washington. Washington goes to Buffalo next week. They lose that game. They lose tonight. They lose at Buffalo. They're staring 0-3 in the face. They're not coming back from that.
Yeah, but at least with... I mean, here's the thing with Washington, right? When we're going through this division before the season started, you're looking at, you know, offenses and defenses for this division. You know, who had the best side of the ball? And it was the two we came up with were Dallas's offense and Washington's defense were the two best groups.
Correct.
In mm-hmm. the division. At least with Washington, you can make the excuse that we lost Ryan Fitzpatrick, and maybe you pull some hope out of that, although who knows when he's going to come back. But, I mean... What's the Giants' excuse to start 0-2?
There is no excuse for this.
That Saquon Barkley's not 100%?
There's no excuse. There really isn't. At this point, this team, you're not afforded excuses anymore if you're the Giants. When this is now another season where you're staring 0-2 in the face. It's every year. I mean, people look at the Jets like, oh, that's the Jets. They're the laughing stock. They're not. The Jets at least are building in the right direction. I don't even know if the Giants are doing that. The Giants are, there's 32 teams in the NFL, the Giants are the, if they lose this game tonight, and they have another one of these 4 or 5 win seasons, there is no doubt in my mind that the Giants are the biggest laughing stock in the entire NFL.
Well, here's the thing, though, with the Giants is, you know, and I wouldn't, you know, all of a sudden, and you know how much I love the Jets, start, you know, waxing poetic about the Jets.
Not waxing anything. I'm just saying, like, the Giants are, it's more embarrassing than what the Jets are right now.
See, I don't know if that's the case, though. I mean, it's embarrassing that the Jets had to move on from Sam Darnold, and now with the second overall pick, because they could barely win football games last year, they take Zach Wilson, and we've now reset the expectations. So everyone knows that we're the youngest team in the NFL, and we're rebuilding. So we're hopeful that, you know, the new coach is good, and Zach Wilson turns into a franchise quarterback. So that's the only reason why we have hope. I mean, you're on the precipice of doing the same thing.
Yeah, we might be behind you in the rebuild process.
Well, you are because you don't know. I mean, if Daniel Jones can't play.
If Daniel Jones is not good, the Giants are lost and don't even have the quarterback. At least you look at the Jets and say, you have the head coach and you have the quarterback.
Well, you don't know yet, though. You have no idea if you have.
But you believe that, don't you?
Well, I feel better about it after the second half. Absolutely. And we'll see how this season plays out. But I'll say this, Dave. The reason why you feel that way is because you know, look at the teams that aren't going to be very good this season, right? Is we have a pretty good idea of what Houston's trying to do, right? They're going to start over.
They're going to be bad, yes.
They're going to be bad.
Jacksonville's not going to be good. Yep.
No, rookie head coach, rookie quarterback. There's a lot going on in that building. Jets, same thing. Like, you have a pretty good idea of what these teams are and what the goal is for that team moving forward, right? Goal for the Giants is to win the division and make the playoffs. That's the goal. So if now all of a sudden, after week two, you're 0-2, and the fan base feels like the season is already over, and you have to press the reset button with a team that, I mean, you just spent a bunch of money on Adoree Jackson. You just spent a bunch of money on Kenny Galladay. Like, where are you at? You have a team that you're supposed to that's supposed to be ready to win now, and it's not. That's why it's more. I mean, that's why you feel the way you feel.
It's embarrassing. You know, it'd be the perfect fit for the Giants. By the way, the perfect fit, Gleyber Torres. He would be the perfect fit. Guy that doesn't really know what's going on, confused by every situation, not meeting the expectations. He would fit in perfectly. The Giants. All right, let's switch over to the Yankees. We'll get back to the Giants. Lewis Riddick going to join us at 7:35 this morning. Nobservations, and did it happen in Florida at 6:45 this morning? I'll leave it up to you. How do you feel about a frenzy? I mean, typically we don't do it on a Thursday, but today is an important game day for New York football. So
I think we have to.
You think we have to? Because you know we have to do a frenzy tomorrow.
I do a frenzy every single day. I want to say this, too, before we go to break.
Mm-hmm.
Today is the Giants fan opportunity. Today's the opportunity. This is an elimination Thursday. Like, hope, as far as Dave Rothenberg is concerned, hope could be lost after tonight.
It could be.
Pick up the phone, and I want to hear how the Giants fan is feeling today.
It can't be feeling good. I do not envision the Giants fan is feeling good. And if you want to
see... We are the Giants.
Red hot, I mean, just red, like lava hot, they lose tonight. I will be on the air tomorrow, scalding hot.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yankees and Austin Hayes hits that home run, and you start thinking to yourself, oh my gosh. Like, are you kidding me with Chad Green? Hits the two-run homer. Deep to left, and you think they're gonna lose this game. And then they get fortunate, fight their way back, get the little blue pit from Brett Gardner. Gleyber Torres decides, you know what, I'm just gonna go. I'm putting it all on the line here. I'm gonna go. Turns the corner at third. He scores. Yankees a clean inning from Chapman. Get away with a much needed 4-3 win after Toronto got another great performance from Robbie Ray yesterday, and the Red Sox explode in extra innings and win out in Seattle. So all in all, holding serve, but very stressful for the Yankees yesterday, Rick.
Yeah, stressful. But I mean, Nestor Cortez was really good.
Great.
Green is clearly, I mean, he's worn down, whatever it is.
So who do you trust in the bullpen right now?
Who do I trust in the bullpen right now?
Right now.
Wow. That's a great question. Well, I'll trust Loaisiga when he comes back.
No. Right now.
Chapman was pretty good last night. Wandy Peralta, maybe?
Okay.
Wandy?
So, but this bullpen, which was an embarrassment of riches to start the season, right?
Yeah, one of the strengths of the team.
You now maybe trust one guy at the moment. Maybe one, maybe two.
Yeah, but again, I mean, that's what happens when you have, you know, Kluber not pitched and Tyone now is hurt. You're not getting length. You're going to have guys that, especially in these games that are high stress, close games. You heard Kay last night. It's never easy. There have not been a lot of easy games where you don't have to go to your high leverage guys. It feels like almost every night it's high leverage guys, and they're naturally going to get worn down.
Well, it's really difficult because if they were this close from losing that game last night, and I think the fan base, if they would have lost last night, I think the Yankees fan would be out in droves and livid this morning. Let's take a listen to the manager, Aaron Boone. Here he is on the performance from one Chad Green.
He's going to continue to be an option. I feel like he's actually throwing the ball pretty well. The long ball's got him a few times here. Credit to Hayes, got on a pitch up above the strike zone, but I feel like stuff-wise right now, Greeny's throwing the ball well. You know, obviously, he's been leaned on a lot, probably even, you know, a little unfairly, and there's some of that, but we'll try and get him days here when we can to keep him fresh. But he's going to be a guy we go to in big spots moving forward, and he's going to deliver.
I got to tell you, if I was a Yankees fan, Aaron Boone would drive me insane. Insane.
Yeah, but what would you like him to say?
Why does it always have to be this rosy glow of, oh, it's great. It couldn't be better. Thrilled. This is exactly what we're looking for. Why can you never come out and say, you know what? He was bad last night. He's got to be better. It's a bad pitch on 0-2.
Well, because he's pushing him. He knows. I mean, Aaron Boone's been around this game a long time. I mean, he's a former player. Like, he knows. I mean, it's what we're asking Luis Rojas to do with his guys that don't. I mean, I want to apologize.
His guys won't
to Luis
do
Rojas
it.
That don't want to do it. At least he's got guys that are willing to do it. You saw last night with John Lester. Like, he's willing to push himself because he realizes how important these games are. As opposed to the Mets where, Stroman, he's done. I just pull my jersey out, I'm done. Like, no thought of, hey, listen, give me the ball. I know how important this is. Give me the ball. Let me try to get through one more inning.
That's right. I mean, it was the most important game of the year for the Mets the other night. Now, listen, I give Chad Green credit for sucking it up and getting it done. Or trying to get it done and always being available. But my God, I mean, Aaron Boone with the, good for him. He's great. He's right there. Things are fine. I mean, it would drive me mad. I'm just telling you. I'm being honest with you. It would drive me mad if I was a Yankees fan.
I understand what you're saying, but I'll tell you this. From a player's perspective, this is what drives players crazy sometimes about the fans is – there are games when you go out there where, I mean, you wake up, you can barely move, you can barely walk, but you don't say anything, you go out and play. I mean, Jeter used to always say it, if I'm healthy enough to play, I'm out there. So whatever the result is, good or bad, right? If I'm not making any excuses. Like, Chad Green's not going to come out and tell you, hey, listen, like, I feel awful. Like, I'm worn out. That's not who he is. I'm not saying you have to give him the benefit of the doubt because it's been too many big home runs that he's given up.
I mean, he did it to Lindor the other day. He did it last night. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess give him credit for always being available, but my God, I mean,
here's the thing, though, Dave. You don't have to give him credit for being available. I just think the reason why Aaron Boone, and I know it aggravates you, says what he says is because those are conversations he's having with Chad Green. So if I already know going in that I'm being unfair to this guy because he's already telling me that he feels worn down and he's not at his best, I can't now all of a sudden
destroy him if he's
destroy
bad.
Destroy him in front of the media.
How about this now? I haven't heard this soundbite, but we're going to listen to this one. Do you think he's going to defend Gleyber Torres and his play in the eighth inning?
No.
You don't think so?
I think he's fed up with Gleyber Torres.
I mean, wouldn't you be? Don't
yes.
you have to be if you're a fan of the Yankees? Just done with this guy?
Oh, I would hate to say done with this guy.
I don't mean done like get him out of here, but done to the point where you have no more patience with him.
Well, isn't moving him from shortstop to second base proof that they've had enough?
But what is he doing last night?
He panicked. He didn't make the play.
Panicked about what?
Well, because he didn't make the play in the air. Probably should have caught that in the air and it would have been a double play. He drops it, and now, because he has, I guess, no awareness of what's going on, or he's not. You get taught in Little League. Like, you get the ball, nowhere to go with it. He panics, and he throws to first.
You go to the lead runner, though, right? I mean, you had plenty of time.
Well, in the moment, you don't have the slow-mo instant replay as a player. But you have to understand, in that moment, it's a sinking line drive. So the runner at first has to hesitate in case you catch it. And he was stuck. I mean, he was stuck in between first and second. He had to stop. So he had plenty of time.
Have you heard the Aaron Boone sound on Gleyber Torres in the eighth inning?
No, I have
so
not.
There's a chance that this is optimistic and positive. You're uncertain.
I have no idea, but I'm leaning right now that he is not going to give Gleyber Torres the benefit of the doubt.
All right, here we go. Aaron Boone, I haven't heard it either, on Gleyber's play in the eighth.
Obviously, it was a hard hit ball and kind of that short hop, so a good job of stopping it. And I think initially, wind's kind of freezing on him a little bit, just threw him off. I mean, obviously, it was a play where he should have ended up going second. He had the time, but ended up taking the out at first.
See, you won't destroy him.
Oh, I don't think that's as negative as he gets.
Oh, God. Boy, I wish I was his kid.
But it's worked, though. I mean, it's worked.
Not with Torres, it hasn't worked.
No, it hasn't worked with Torres. But I think he's right. One of those guys. But I could say the same thing about Gary Sanchez, though, too. And why they got rid of Joe Girardi. I don't know if Gleyber Torres is the kind of guy that can handle that kind of
tough heavy manager.
Well, no, like the heavy-handed constructive criticism. Some guys aren't built like that.
I guess he's probably not, but my God. I mean, that was a terrible play. If the Yankees lost that game last night, do you understand how many people would be calling right now running this guy out of town?
Yes.
Livid with him, and rightfully so.
Well, of course you would be. I mean, they need to beat the Baltimore Orioles. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. The Orioles, the Indians, the Rangers, these are important games, like really important games. And luckily for them, last night they pulled it out, and I give them credit. That was ballsy. Tyler Wade steals third. I mean, the double steal, and then because of that, and this is why I love baseball. Yeah, I mean, you put pressure on the defense. They have to pull the infield in, and now Gardner's able to drive in two with that bloop single.
Yep.
Because if that's right, I mean, if that's first and second, the infield is
no,
at
it's
regular
an easy
depth.
Catch by the shortstop, and the Yankees probably lose that game.
Exactly.
Yeah, the steal changed the entire complexion of that inning. All right, 800-919-3776. How are you feeling about your Yankees at the moment? I mean, they narrowly escaped Baltimore last night. Boston wins. Toronto wins. This is the easiest three-game set you have the rest of the year. You're 2.5 weeks. What are you now? What are we, 16 games left? Is that right?
No, I think
it's 16, no?
16 or 15.
I think it's 16, but you could be right, I guess. I thought that was 18 on Monday. Now they played. Oh, yeah, you're right. So it's 15 now. No. I don't know. 60.
No, they're 82 and 64, right?
Yeah, but what does that mean now? So that what is that? 82 and 64?
That's 146.
16 left. See, I was right. Left. See, don't question me.
Well, no, it's tough when you're watching both games. Right? Like, you watch both games, and it's like you got one booth talking about this and the other booth talking about that.
If you have another child, will you name him Lars Nootbaar?
No.
No?
Lars freaking Nootbaar.
Lars?
What a double switch that was.
It's a great name, by the way. Yeah. Can you finally say, here's what I want to hear you say. The Mets are done.
I'll never say it.
You're amazing.
I'm like Mel Gibson in Braveheart. Will not say it.
Right.
Rip my intestines out, I won't say it.
Yeah, they're ripping them out slowly.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I don't see you as a mobile ticket guy.
Nah, Cassie, I mean, that. No, I will say this, though.
I knew that was coming.
No. Impressed myself the other day. Checked in online.
For your
checked
flight?
In online.
Wow.
And then found out how to take my boarding pass, throw it in the wallet.
In your iPhone wallet.
Yes.
Wow.
First time ever without a legit ticket, just the iPhone.
How do you feel about that? I enjoy the paper ticket.
Yeah, I like the paper ticket. I like the newspaper. I wasn't a huge fan of it. Because I got to have the phone out. I usually put the phone away. Because I got to go through security, take the shoes off, the belt. And then for some reason, I don't know if it was just my day, I get stopped for a luggage check. Because the guy doesn't know what a toiletry kit looked like. He's like, what's this, sir?
No, come on.
Oh, yeah.
A man that checks luggage for a living was confused by what a toiletry kit was?
Yes. Yeah, he's like, what's this, sir? I'm like, oh, that's actually my toiletry kit. He's like, oh, really? And then he opens it and he's like, well, what's this? I was like, That's
my toothbrush.
No, that's hair product, sir. It's here. We don't believe you. You need more people. See where it says hair gel right there? Yeah, that's for my head. Thanks. He's like, oh, okay. You have a great flight.
Really?
Like, thanks. Yeah.
Now, is that hair gel to make it look nice, or is that because maybe you're losing some hair?
No, it's just to make it
look nice.
Tighten it up, yeah. Eliminate the frizz.
Are you a frizzy guy?
I can be.
Really?
I can be a frizzy guy, yeah.
Like Bob Ross?
No, not Bob Ross. My dad is like that. My dad has real, like, oh, yeah.
Really?
Real tight curls. Yeah, it gets real frizzy. I think Rocco's going to be like that. Rocco's got real curly hair.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
I don't know if he's going to like it.
You know what I don't like?
Tell me.
I don't like not being able to get a ticket to a game now. From the time I was a kid, would save my tickets, and I have a huge like binder of all the events I've gone to. I can't do it anymore. There's no tickets anymore.
No, I know that. Maybe can you print them out? But that's not, I mean, that's no fun.
Well, first of all, what do I want? Like a Ticketmaster one sheet that just says, you know, you went to this game? No, I want the ticket. I want the actual ticket. Is that me being old man Rothenberg? Or is this a legitimate gripe?
No, I think it's a legitimate gripe. I mean, there's some nostalgia involved. It's funny that you just say that because I've officially lost every cabinet I have in the house. Like, can you move this stuff? I have to put stuff here. So I have no cabinets. So I have to go through stuff. And it's funny that you mentioned that because I had my, and it was a beautiful ticket, my Winter Classic ticket from when the Rangers played.
Rangers, right? Yeah.
So, and it's a beautiful ticket.
Yeah.
But it's nice because you're right. I mean, it brings back the memory of being at that game.
And there's never a game that we go to if we do have a ticket where we'll come home and I'll say to the kids, "All right, do you want to save the ticket?" And they look at me like I have a second head. They're like, "Why would I save the ticket?" I'm like, "Well, just to save it to remember the game, to have the memory, to show your kids one day." No. No.
Yeah, things are changing, man. That's not important. That's not important to kids anymore.
It should be.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. It's nice to see that collecting cards is coming back a little bit.
It's like a huge deal now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Peter's traveling all over the place for cards. I used to love that. Love it. Go to the candy store, get a couple packs of cards, some candy.
Would you eat the bubble gum that was years old in the cards? You would.
Always. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
We all did.
And then Nana's boyfriend, Bobby, would sort them out for me, put them in a binder.
So did you see this? Grading baseball cards is a huge thing. Like, you take your card, you send it to a place, they grade it, and they send it back. And if it gets the 10 of 10 grade, it's worth a lot more money than if it gets an 8 or a 9.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it's called PSA. I'll have to look it up specifically. But I saw this, a Ricky Henderson perfect, like a mint 10 of 10 rated rookie card. Guess how much it's worth?
$1.5 million.
No. Come on.
No. I'm going to say $75,000.
I believe it's more. I think it's like $125,000.
I used to love Ricky Henderson.
But I have that.
No, you don't.
I do.
Get it graded.
Yeah,
get
that's a big deal. It's a big deal to do that, but I will. I will. Could you imagine that? If I had a baseball card worth like $100,000, I would absolutely sell it.
I have so many cards in my parents' attic. I probably should go through all of them. I think
absolutely
I kept them in pretty good shape.
You absolutely should. My dad had like the greatest cards you could ever imagine that his mother threw away. Like Ted Williams.
Oh my goodness.
Babe Ruth cards. I mean, just Christy Mathewson, like the greatest of the great baseball cards, gone.
This is why I tell my wife. She's like, You're kind of a hoarder. I'm like, no, I'm not hoarding. Everything, like, it's all gonna come back. That double-breasted suit I got in there came back.
Yeah, but I don't think it's worth $100,000. So you save everything.
Well, yeah, mostly, yeah. Yeah. I have a hard time throwing stuff away.
All right, let's get to some of these Yankees calls. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Anthony in Brooklyn. We say good morning. Lead us off, Anthony. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, fellas. How you guys doing today?
We're doing good.
Good, man. I'm not happy with the Yankees, man. They're inconsistent. I think the starting pitching is very suspect. Of course, the bats and all teams going to get shut down eventually by good pitching. So I expect that. Sometimes the bats going to show, sometimes it's not. But the pitching, the rotation, and the bullpen, absolutely hot garbage. After Garrett Cole, I don't trust any pitcher on the Yankee staff, man. So I just wanted to hear you guys comment on that. And I'm going to tune off and you guys have a great day.
Well, thank you, and thanks for the call. I got to tell you, Rick, at this point, Nestor Cortez, I think I'm buying into what he's selling. So it's Cole, ton of confidence.
Nasty,
Cortez,
nasty, yep.
Confidence. I don't know. I don't know if it goes beyond that at the moment.
Tyone, I mean, before he got hurt, Tyone was
right, but
he's good.
He's not with you now.
He's not with you now. No, I don't think you're wrong, but again, I mean, even before the season, you went in looking at the starting rotation, and you said to yourself, yeah, I got some questions here. Ern Herman hasn't pitched. Kluber hasn't pitched. Tyone hasn't pitched,
right?
Which was going to put a lot of stress on your bullpen, because you're going from 60 games to 162. I mean, just look at it. Chad Green, I mean, he's going to take, he'll take the slings and arrows, because he's not the same Chad. It's that same dominant Chad Green that we're used to seeing. And, I mean, he's already at the most innings he's ever pitched, Dave. Most innings he's ever pitched in the season.
3 weeks to go in the season and a potential run in the postseason.
Which means they're going to use him a lot. Right now is, the most innings he's ever pitched is 75 2/3. And he's already at that. So they're using him a lot. And I think that's why Aaron Boone isn't going to.
And there's no off days
in front of the media.
And there's not a day that you could say, all right, you know what, rest on this one. That's why the game, I get confused because we're up so early. The game on Tuesday night was so big because you hammered them. So it was, we don't have to use the main guys in our bullpen. We'll run away with a win here, and we can live to see another day. Those games are huge if you can beat up on your opponent.
They're huge for this team. With all the injuries that they've had with the rotation and everything else, no Britton, no Loaisiga. You need games like that because that's how this team was built. That was a really good call, by the way. Excellent call.
Excellent call. Well, let's see if Brian terrific. Can duplicate. Brian in Milburn, a lot of pressure. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Man, how you doing? I do agree with y'all when it comes to Gleyber Torres. He got to go. I don't care if he won last night. He got to go. That look he got on his face. That's twice I've seen him do an error. He has that dumb look on his face again. And then next batter, it's a home run. I'm not mad about Chad Green. They've been using him a lot. I really like him sometimes in life. I've been listening to y'all all week, and y'all complain about people talking about they don't want the ball or whatever the case may be and all this other stuff. And I can't get mad at the man taking the ball. All kudos. Thank y'all. Have a nice day.
All right. Nice call as well.
God, amazing calls today. I love the start of the show.
Yeah. Really, really well done. Oh,
here's the other thing, though, too, Dave. Did you by any chance hear some of what Luis Rojas said yesterday?
Yes.
To say I was infuriated would be an understatement.
Well, he's gone.
Yeah, but the whole idea that these games are the same as the games in April, I'm like, what are you talking about?
They're huge.
These are the most important games of your season.
It's such a moronic thing to say, isn't it? That these in April you can afford to, Stroman's at 87 pitches and we have 111 games left or more. You know what? It's fine. It's fine. Come out of the game. If we lose it, we lose it. But you have 3 weeks left of the season. You win that game the other night. You're 2.5 games behind the second wild card. You got to be kidding me that that's the way you go about it if you're the Mets. And then to have that reaction, and he did the same thing the other day. The same thing when he pitched to De La Cruz, and he just stood by. Well, I trust Diaz. It's not about trusting Diaz in the moment. It's about putting Diaz in the best possible situation. And I don't think he does it.
I don't think he has the ability to do it, though. You want to talk about, and we always say this with Cashman and Boone, and it's collaboration and everything else. Go back to what Buster said as far as how dysfunctional this thing is. And then listen to Luis Rojas and some of the... And I kind of joked. It was almost like, one of those ransom videos that him in front of the media where he's trying to throw you little crumbs of information that you can piece together. But you watched that game the other night. I'm sitting there going, why are we not going back to Stroman? And then you realize Stroman's already pulled his jersey. Like, he's done.
He was done.
Like, Stroman's done. So what is Luis Rojas going to do? Hey, tuck that shirt back in. Hey, you're going out. He was done.
But I can't go to Lugo. I got to trot Familia out in the biggest inning of the season.
Now, you still can't explain this, man. I don't want to hear about his sinker and everything. You can't with matchups. I'm going with in one of the most important at bats of the season. I'm going with a guy who's batting 118 because of a matchup.
Ugh.
Stop! Stop it.
You know how many RBIs Almora has on the year?
Do you know how many hits he has on the year?
He has the same RBIs. As you and I.
Listen, I was very effective in softball the other night. I was very effective.
Yeah, but he has no RBIs on
the season. No, I get it. And Guillorme, he battles. Guillorme, I absolutely despise this version of baseball now. Especially with managers that have been in the game for so long, that have been around the game for so long, that have played the game for so long, that knows what it's like to be hot, that knows what it's like when you're striking, that knows all those different nuances of a game where a matchup can't be the only reason you're doing something. Like, there has to be, and I'm not even saying, for me, that's not even like a willy-nilly going by the gut decision. That's like, okay, I've seen it. Like, I've seen Luis Guillorme give me great at-bats against lefties. I've seen it. I mean, hell, the guy's batting 276 against lefties. That's not too shabby, especially
yeah,
in today's
I need to ask you is, who do you want up in a big spot, Guillorme or Almora?
With my season on the line?
Yeah. Well, forget about whatever. Whatever. In a big spot, who do you want up at bat, Almora or Guillorme?
Give me Guillorme.
It's not even a question.
You want J.D. Davis or Mazika?
I mean, stop it. Really. I mean, it's embarrassing at this point. Let's go to Mike in Brooklyn. Mike, you're next up. Let's see if you can continue the great caller string on this Thursday morning, Mike.
Yeah, my thing is this. Everybody's on for cutting Rojas as the manager. DeGrom is the Mets' best player, just like Durant is the Nets' best player. You don't see the Nets firing Nash because Durant went down for an injury. DeGrom has been out 10 to 12 starts would have had the Mets in the playoffs, period. Forget about Rojas. Rojas has not. You're going to nitpick every game that DeGrom is out? Y'all didn't do that to
Mike, Nash. Mike, nitpick? The guy is dreadful. And I understand that he lost DeGrom, but you know what? Teams lose key components and key players. The Yankees have had injuries.
It happens.
You can't compare baseball to basketball. The impact that Kevin Durant has on his team is different than the impact. Kevin Durant plays every game, and he plays both sides of the ball.
The Grommets are Durant.
You can't compare baseball. I don't care what you're saying. He's the best player on the team. He may be the best player in baseball, but baseball is not basketball. It's a bat. It's a bad comparison.
It's a horrendous comparison.
It's a horrendous comparison.
Mike, you think he's a good manager? Mike, you think that Rojas is a good manager?
Hey. The Mets were in first place when he was pitching.
And how was the offense? And how was the actual managing? They were in first place because Walker was unbelievable, Stroman was amazing, and DeGrom was something we've never seen before. You knew that wasn't going to last all season long. And everyone kept saying, at some point, the bats are going to wake up. You know what? They haven't. An entire season where the bats have been dormant, Mike.
The Tampa Bay Rays have lost every single one. I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays lost Glasnow, their ace. They got rid of Snell. They got rid of Morton. And they're still winning the AL East. One of the best teams in baseball. I don't want to hear it. You cannot compare the starting pitching star of a team to the superstar of a basketball team.
To start the season, give me, in your mind, the best pitcher on the Dodgers.
To start the season, the best pitcher on the Dodgers? Bueller?
Okay. And then Kershaw? Number two would be?
It was Bueller. It was Kershaw.
Or a guy they acquired this offseason?
Trevor Bauer.
Or Bauer. And I'm not defending Bauer and saying he shouldn't be, you know, on administrative leave from baseball. But that happened, and he's done. And you know what? They figure it out. Because that's what good teams do. And the truth is, the Mets are not good. And the truth is, the manager's not good. He's not.
And you knew going into the deadline that DeGrom was probably not going to pitch for the rest of the season. You knew it. You knew it. And your answer to that was Rich Hill.
Yep. So the Blue Jays go out and get Berríos. The Dodgers go out and get Scherzer. The Mets go out and get Rich Hill.
And the Phillies got Gibson.
Right. So you tell me which one doesn't belong and why. Brian in Manhattan. Good morning, Brian. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. It's Manalip in New Jersey, but close enough. That's fine.
That's all right.
Brian, let me just take a moment. There are times, Santhi will probably play like the Wayback Music. There are times when I blame RJ. Yes. Like yesterday when I blamed RJ for mistakes that he made, I will bring it on air and I will blame him. Not today. Today, RJ is without fail. Brian, it says Manalapan and I misread it. I apologize. Continue.
I'm going to work in Manhattan, so maybe that's, you know, whatever, it's fine. Rojas has no ability to manage anything on this Mets team. I think, you know, they whiffed a lot on the trade deadline, and they didn't want to give up any of their prospects, which I don't think, with outside of maybe two of them, should even, you know, even warrant staying on the team long term.
But you say they don't want to give up prospects. They gave up their number one draft pick from last year in Pete Crow Armstrong. So they did.
But they still had Beatty. They still had the other guy I can't remember the other infielder. I can't remember that name. I'm sorry.
Mauricio?
No, what I'm saying is, yeah, Mauricio, the baby dad. I think another guy. I can't remember the name. But they didn't want to get, you know, they're tied to a three-year window with DeGrom's health. And Alderson can't manage a team anymore. He's used to managing a team with owners that don't want to spend. So he has no idea what he's doing now. They need to clean house top to bottom and keep and only keep essentially Alonso and DeGrom. Get rid of McNeil and Lindor.
So you're not getting rid of Lindor, my friend.
No, and I'm fine with that. I don't, you know,
you're probably going to re-sign Baez. I wouldn't be surprised if they re-sign Baez. I mean, go back. Like the whole, it was, I remember at the time too, it was, you know, and then they kind of made a joke out of it. Was it a rat or a raccoon? Remember that?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, well, Lindor and McNeil clearly had no chemistry in the middle infield.
A dreadful season.
Okay, so, I mean, you don't think it's partly Lindor that was like, I can't have this guy play second base. I need someone else.
Probably. I think he's the puppet master behind the scenes, Lindor.
Yep. They say that in order to get Theo Epstein, you have to give up some ownership. The second they signed him to the 341, Steve Cohen gave up some of the ownership of this team to Lindor.
Absolutely, he did. I mean, listen, if they gave him a percentage of the team to bring in Theo Epstein, I mean, what do I care? I'd be a huge fan of that.
The call is not wrong, man. I mean, this isn't just McNeil having a bad season or McCann having a bad season or Dom Smith, you name it, having bad seasons, underperforming. This starts at the top.
It's got to.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.